the Edinburgh International Book Festival. It's Saturday the 9th of August, and the skies are definitely clearing.
They're lifting.
They are lifting. And I have Bill Patterson with me, who's at the Edinburgh Book Festival to talk about his new book, Tales from the Back Green. Welcome, Bill.
Oh, well, thank you. Lovely to be here.
And it's nice to see the rain stopping, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I looked at one of these, you know, one of these websites that have the weather thing, and I noticed that it was going to ease up by mid afternoon, and that's what we're sitting on. So any luck, it'll be gone by tea time.
And your event, of course, is later on today, isn't it? That you'll be talking about your book, Tales from the Back Green. Tell me how did you come to write all these tales?
Well, being an actor to trade, all these years, I've used everybody else's words, you know, endless. Great proper writers have written things that I've been in and I've mangled or wrecked or adjusted or even, God forbid, cut. You know, I've said, oh, yeah. And I thought I wanted to feel what that was like, to feel my own writing being used. So I, having never got round to writing the great screenplay or the great success, you know, Tom Stoppard has had nothing to fear from me and the playwriting stakes, I thought, well, I'll write a short story of a childhood incident that had kind of somehow bubbled up in my mind, and I sent it under an assumed name to BBC Stories, Short Stories. And they wrote back to the assumed name to say that they liked this little story of childhood set in 1955, and they would like to ask an actor like Bill Patterson to read it. So I said, well, I should have kind of held out for, you know, against Patterson and said, over my dead body, I will not have him anywhere near it. He'll wreck it. Can we get me somebody else? But I gave up, and I ended up reading it, and that led to a commission for 5 more short stories based on that kind of mid-1950s childhood. And these were broadcast in BBC Scotland, and when they were broadcast in, people if they like something on radio, people often go into a bookshop and say, is that published, or where can I get a copy, or has it been out for years, or have I missed it? And the result was that the bookshops get the buzz of that, and they come back, and spies come, and publishers came to me. So I was invited to do it, to be honest. I felt there was a slim volume for 5 stories. But when BBC Scotland then commissioned another 5 for radio, it then made it, you know, a worthwhile proposition that it was worthwhile publishing 10 stories plus an extra that I've written for the book. So it's a reasonable sized book, stuffed with a few pictures.
It is absolutely fascinating, because I've seen to you before this interview, when I first got it, I picked it up and had a wee flick through it, and then half an hour later I was still reading the book, because you've just got to get to the end of the stories. Give us a flavour of maybe one of the sort of stories they are about childhood.
Yeah, well, the first story I wrote, and which in a way is the sort of benchmark, the keynote to it, is I in the midst of the 1950s, the H-bomb was such an image and a threat in everybody's life. It was the Cold War was getting colder, and we discovered in this very hot summer, which was, as we'll know, comparatively rare in our, certainly in the mid-50s, in Glasgow we didn't have a lot of beating hot summers, but we did in that summer of 55, and there was an awful lot of dust, and dust is what you create H-bomb mushroom clouds with. And so we built up and built a huge mushroom cloud with a huge box of dust, which we poured from the top of the tenement. And that's where the first story began. So although the stories are of childhood, they're kind of tied in a sort of subliminal way with the big issues of the time, you know, that you were aware of as a child, that you didn't, they weren't unknown to us. We were aware. So each of them has a little bit of a link to that. There's a story about us when we tried to set up the 1955 World Cup.
Yeah.
Anybody about football knows there was no such thing as a 1955 World Cup, but we tried one in the back greens in Denniston. Total failure. But within that story, I've intertwined suggested of the background of the sectarianism that we grew up in, where you could only support one team. You didn't support the team just because it was the nearest. You supported it because it was the right side of the sectarian divide. So there's a number of these things, which are not, I hasten to say, heavily laid on, but nor are they ignored. And that's, you know, that is with the reality of growing up in Glasgow in the 1950s.
And I suppose they're all things that people will remember, like how big stories affect children, which is quite different from the way they affect the adults at the time. Do you think, in general, good memories, do you think, of growing up? Because childhood nowadays, you know, it is quite different. You know, you're not allowed out on the streets. And I know in a previous interview, you know, the interview was saying you school holidays started and that was it. Apart from tea time, you hardly saw your folks.
Yeah, that's right, because part of it, I've got children too, who are pretty grown up now, but you know, there is a stage in the life nowadays where parenting is being part of the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. You're part of the mechanism that delivers children to theme parks or delivers them to some sort of themed restaurant. You know, you're part of the entertainment business as a parent now, in a way that our parents had not a clue that would be. Their entertainment delivery was just to let you run out the door and say, come back for your tea. And that is a definite difference. I didn't write the stories to be to be making a big sociological tract about that. You know, that's just what comes out, and people have picked that up and saying that, and it is an issue of our times, that the freedom of movement. On the other hand, there is immense amount of freedom that children have, access to information that was denied us. So, you know, there are, we will all always have to have swings and roundabouts in the way that society develops.
Now, you've been, dare I say, a veteran of the Edinburgh Festival for a long, long time.
Yes.
you've been coming for a long. Are you quite enjoying being at the book festival, which you've been involved with before, of course?
Well, you know, I've never been active. This is the first time I've ever been on a stage, but I've always come here. I've used the book festival as my base in Edinburgh when I've been coming to see other shows, or perhaps I think the last show I was in really in Edinburgh, sadly to say, is the best part of, I mean, like 20 years ago. It's dreadful to say that, but the book festival is the meeting place for me. This is where I come. In the absence of the old days, we used to go to the Traverse. Mm-hmm. In the old days, when that was the only place with a late license and the likelihood of a drink in the afternoon, you know. Now that's available everywhere. And whereas the book fest is where I would come, and I'll know if I come here, I'll usually bump into Ian Rankin. I mean, you can't avoid Ian.
He's been here already.
You know,
this morning,
there should be a statue. They should take that statue down in the middle and put Ian there. You meet. It's lovely, that drifting sense of it. This would be my first port of call in Edinburgh.
And it has such a unique atmosphere. I mean, the whole city takes on a change during the festival. In any case, but the book festival, I think, because you walk in through the front entrance into Charlotte Square, and that's it. You don't really have to go anywhere else for the book festival.
That's right, and it feels it. You know, there's no admission things, obviously, to get into the events if they're booked up, whatever it is. But it just has that kind of spontaneous. You could come in here and just catch up on something that you never thought you would. And I mean, I know everything is terribly successful now, and a lot of sold out events. But the idea that you could just drift in and I'll see that writer I don't know much about, but I'll learn a little bit, or I'll drift into that. I think it's a wonderful thing. I mean, it is the essence of the Edinburgh Festival. It just happens to be called a book. The word book is in there, but it's really the essence of the festival.
Well, we're delighted that you drifted past and I was able to press gang you, really, if you'll pardon the pun, into doing an interview with
I'm
us.
Delighted.
And I hope your event goes very well, and we hope to see maybe another collection of short stories.
Yes, well, I'll need another, you know, somebody from the radio will have to tell me to do it, because that's the only way that forces me to write in 14 minutes, 10 seconds. That's the great thing about writing radio. It really gives you very strong rules. So only with that will there be more.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for speaking to us today, and enjoy your event tonight.
Thank you.
We'll see you later. Thank you very much. That was Leslie Fraser-Taylor from 4th2 interviewing Bill Paterson about his new book, Tales from the Back Green.